All right, is VoiceOver Body Shop, the last show of 2016.
That's it. This is the last one.
Well, we'll start again in January.
Oh.
I mean, but we have a great guest, and we are going to have a great time with Scott Parkin.
Woo!
So tune in. We're going to talk about all sorts of weird stuff. Who knows what's going to happen? It's the last
Scott's
show of the year. It's the holiday
thing.
Season, and we're coming up right after this. Don't go away.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittem, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, from their super secret studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittem and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
All right.
That was smooth.
Thank you very much.
That was pretty long, though. Maybe we can speed it up next time. BS. Yeah. Yes.
Cut 3 seconds off and put
okay.
a smile in.
There we go. All righty. Well, tonight, first we have to thank our sponsors.
Yeah, I see you've increased the font and made it even more red.
It's like 36 font now.
It's strobing 30, even.
It is? Oh, okay.
Sponsors did that? They increased the font for you?
You did. Okay. Anyway, Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOverEssentials.com.
And VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studios, your employer.
That's right. Source Elements.
Rehearsal App and VO2GoGo.com.
And Antland Productions, where you can get yourself a
killer demo.
Right.
All righty. Well, tonight, last show of 2016. Who can believe? This is our 60th episode of VoiceOver Body Shop.
Woohoo! And we are celebrating, ladies and gentlemen, with a little libations.
Just a little
which,
bit.
Which we were forced to a drink tonight.
60 shows?
Alrighty.
60 episodes, my friend.
That's amazing. Yes. That's over 5 hours of incredible programming.
No, multiply 60 times 1.5 hours and you'll see how long we've been hanging out in my garage here. Scott Parkin is our guest tonight.
Yes, he is.
And he's making his presence felt.
He is absolutely here.
We're going to have some fun with him, talk a little bit about how it is, what is the best strategy for booking the job, and we're going to have some fun with some improv. And we actually have a studio audience tonight.
Woo!
All right. Now, you guys can be here if you want. Just let us know. Just write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, hey, I am going to be in the greater Los Angeles area on such and such a Monday night. Would you please allow me to come into your studio and watch the show?
Yes, we will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chances are, yes, we will.
Bring beer. So that's the
easiest. No more spiced rum, please.
Whatever.
No more spiced rum?
No, more spiced rum. No.
More spiced rum.
It's $230 a ticket to get in here, so these folks are lucky.
They really are.
$230 a ticket.
Yes. Yeah. That always works.
We're also going to talk about, you know, when it comes to holiday gifts.
Yeah.
You know, what would be your thing to give to somebody, or if you're a voice actor, you know, I'm getting a lot of texts right now. Perhaps I should silence your cell phone.
Put your phones on stun.
Yeah. Let's see who it's from. We know who it is. Okay,
that's
never mind.
We learned to silence our phone.
That's right. But anyway, so we're going to talk about that. But right now,
and now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
All right, it's time for the news. Business branding. The new year is just ahead, and you've heard the phrase, put your best foot forward. Well, how about this tweak? Put your best face forward. In this case, your face is your voiceover business brand. In other words, how do your prospects and clients perceive you? And for that matter, how do you perceive yourself? Is your brand or your business face kind of wishy-washy, vague, and offer little to entice a prospect to consider you over your competition? In a new article on VoiceOver Extra, branding expert Celia Siegel challenges you with questions to help you figure out if your brand needs a facelift. Here are five of those questions. When you answer yes to any of these, give yourself a thumbs up sign. Everybody? Thumbs up? There we go. All right. Okay. And if you answer no, well, you might squirm a little bit in your seat. Number one, does your current brand make you feel at home? Like you could snuggle up inside your brand and stay for weeks? Two, is it on trend or trend setting? Remember, you're talking to ad buyers and writers, the trendiest people on earth. So your brand has to look and feel fresh, smart, and streamlined. Three, does it scream you? Does it talk like you talk, walk like you walk? For instance, if you were in a lineup with 10 other voice actors, could we match your brand with you? Four, does your brand open doors? Does it get you work? And five, is it better than your competitors' brands? Well, how you doing? There are a dozen more questions in Celia's article. If your answers so far are causing a bit of squirm after this webcast, click over to voiceoverextra.com after the show and start thinking about a new face for 2017. This how-to article and hundreds more await you at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. Gee, not too bad, actually.
Hey, man, we're getting pretty good at this.
Yeah, it helps when you rehearse. And maybe have a little bit
you're
of
getting help. An applause. You know what? I don't think Dave Cavassier ever gets applause for reading the teleprompter.
No, he doesn't. We sort of applauded him when we were over at KLAS in Vegas, but he was able to keep a straight face while we were in there, making faces at him.
I was
while
impressed
he was
with
doing
him.
The news.
Yeah.
Anyway, so branding is like one of those things that it's trendy. Your brand?
Is it meaning that it wasn't trendy at one time? In other words, at one time, it wasn't trendy to have a brand.
Right.
It was just good enough to just be you and then what? Get an agent and that was it?
I guess so.
The old days?
That's not the way it is today.
Yeah.
I mean, the business is getting so incredibly competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And having a brand is important, I think, in certain segments.
Yeah.
Like, say, here in Hollywood. Or in a larger marketplace where, you know, you've got to show some differential. But
yeah,
I think for the vast majority of our people, it's important to have a brand. But you've really got to be a brand to people who need brands. Like, you know, for e-learning people, is a brand really that important? You know?
I mean, that's a question for somebody else that knows more about than I do. I don't know. I mean... you have to know the market and what needs branding and what doesn't need branding.
That's right. Exactly. So, Celia makes some good points there. So, so go read that article.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're going to tackle a couple of things about, holiday gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Parkin is here driving us absolutely insane. So, and I can't wait to get to him.
What happened?
Yeah. And you'll also notice that the background tonight is surfing.
Right, dude.
Because I was at the VoiceOver Collective party the other night.
Yeah.
And they were raffling off all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of coaches were raffling off their things.
For $8,000.
Yeah, I mean, it was, what was it, $5, Tim? I can't remember what it was. Yeah. And
where did that money go exactly?
I'm not exactly sure.
I think Jay already has a hat. So how many more hats do you possibly need?
We're not exactly sure. I won the last prize, amazingly. You know,
was the last the best?
The last was the best because I got some voice acting lessons with Scott Parkin.
Dude.
But the best part was is I also get surfing lessons.
Oh,
I've been
man.
In California for a year and a half and I have yet to touch a surfboard.
I so need to know when that's happening. Because I need to be there.
You will see photos. I guarantee there will be a new
profile. I'm going to shoot a video.
I got a GoPro. We're going to dial them in. And he gets art from my daughter, Miranda. So,
oh,
a commissioned
nice.
Artist. She's going to draw all three of you guys as a superhero. You choose gloves, no gloves, capes, no capes.
Underwear.
Color scheme. Underwear, I guess you do what you want in your own time.
Okay, all right.
But this is just about art.
So we've gone for the surfing motif tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm deserved. Like, whoa.
That's a giant.
That would crush you. I just want you to know.
It's crushing me just as a picture, to tell you the truth.
That's frightening.
Anyway.
I can't breathe.
So are you? What are you doing for the holiday season?
For the holidays, I'm sticking around, man. Which
cool.
Every other year, I stick around town. I don't go back to Pennsylvania, and I get to enjoy the splendor of Los Angeles during the holidays.
No snow.
It's amazing.
It is
there's
fantastic.
Nobody,
there's nobody here.
People leave.
You can get anywhere you want
it is
in
awesome.
8 minutes.
Oh, God.
I just drive places for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
You know what? I can get to Hollywood today in 27 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I'm
going
to
drive
over there.
And
I'm going to get a half gallon of hot Yoo-Hoo and come back home. It doesn't matter.
Hot Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah. My wife spent last week in Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like looking at the radar and this big blue blob over Buffalo. It's like
right. An
amazing, you know, apparently quite the lake effect storm.
Oh, that's what a big blue blob means.
That's in the radar, yes.
Okay.
Not a big...
Oh, right.
Yeah, blue with slight shades of purple. And I'm thinking, boy, I really missed that bar mitzvah.
Well, I'll tell you, we got some sample. We got an audio sample of a microphone that I hadn't heard about yet.
Oh, let's talk about it.
It's pretty rare. Well, I thought maybe we'd play that after the break.
Okay,
a little teaser, so people will actually come back.
We had a billboard that.
You remember how we used
nicely
to
done.
Tease things? We're teasing tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do that. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to answer some questions,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to listen to this microphone from Blue,
and apparently. We'll talk about. What makes it interesting?
Right. And about what you should ask for gifts or give for gifts.
Maybe one of
it's
these.
That time of year. Anyway, we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Do not go away.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated, too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
We lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
You're on.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to take a minute to talk about one of our sponsors of the show, and that is Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. Source Connect is pretty much the gold standard nowadays for people that want to connect to other studios real time for doing remote sessions. Think of it as like ISDN without the ISDN. It's audio quality that rivals ISDN or even surpasses it that streams over the internet. And you can connect to studios all over the world because Source Connect has been out for over 10 years now and has been adopted by a lot of studios. So it's becoming rapidly one of the new standards, if not the new standard. There are other competitors out there, but Source Connect, I think, kind of stands alone on a few points. One of them is they have 24-hour support. They have support technicians in all the major time zones. So you can get support pretty much when you need it. They have a support built into the software. So when you get the software, you get support, and then you can pay for a yearly membership to receive ongoing support, which is really great. And I think support is what makes a software like this professional. Anything that's out there is great, but if it works, it's great. But when it doesn't work, what do you do? And this stuff is mission-critical software. It's designed for working in the clutch, doing live sessions that are, you know, high stakes. And this is for playing a high-stakes game. So if you're ready to up your game and really start doing those national ad campaigns and you want to have a better tool to do that, check out Source Connect, and you can get a 15-day free trial at source-elements.com and give it a test ride. And guess what? You don't have to have one of those little iLock thingies anymore. Source Connect standard works without an iLock. So go check it out. And thanks so much, Source Elements, for sticking around and sponsoring us up through 60 episodes now of VoiceOver Body Shop. We appreciate it.
Especially
and we'll see
tonight.
You in a minute.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We pick the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
All right, and we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. All right, well, so someone submitted some sound to us this week. And by the way, you can send sound to us. That's what we talk about, and that's what we do.
Yeah, if you're telling us about a new mic you just got,
we'd like to hear about
make
it.
Make sure you send the audio, too.
Yeah, don't just say, it looks really nice.
What do you guys think of this new mic?
Yeah.
We want to hear it.
Or don't send
hear.
The mic.
Or just send the mic.
Yeah,
just
yeah, really. We
eliminate the middleman.
Yeah, but Blue Microphones is coming out. This, by the way, is a Blue microphone up here.
Mm-hmm.
Blue makes a lot of interesting stuff, and as you like to say, they're totally into industrial design.
They are all about the industrial design. They like every mic to look completely unique from the others, so
right.
You can never be confused what mic you're using.
Okay, well,
mm-hmm.
But apparently Paul Stefano bought himself a Raspberry.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Blue Raspberry, and this is their, I think, from what I understand, this is their answer to the Apogee mic.
Their attempt to answer an Apogee mic.
Yeah, because they've had, Blue is sort of like they're a USB mic innovator. I mean, they came out with a Snowball, which they still make.
Mm.
Not a mic I recommend for voiceover, but it's one of the originals in terms of USB mics. And so they've been innovating and coming up with new ideas. They came out with the Yeti.
Yeah.
Which people still use. It looks like a R2-D2.
Yeah.
They came out with the Spark Digital, which is a really interesting mic. It has its flaws, but it's pretty cool. Then they came out with the Nessie, I think it is, which looks like a sea monster sticking up out of your desk. And that's interesting mic, too. But the blue Raspberry looks to be, they're trying to come up with something that's very portable but still sounds expensive. Like a really high-quality mic. And so, I mean, Paul was nice enough to send in a sample, and, let's just hear what it sounds like before I talk more about it. I mean, what's the matter if it doesn't sound good? So I think I have this patched in. Let's give it a shot.
This is Mother Planet, a unique phenomenon. Somehow, against all odds, it can sustain life. Well, if you can call that living. Regardless, everything is connected here, from the tiniest seed to the greatest mountain.
Okay.
So there's a sample. So, when you listen to that, just out of context, disjointed, not knowing what, you know, where he's doing or what he's working from, does that sound like a
professional microphone.
Studio microphone?
Yeah.
Sounds like it to me.
Yeah. Now, the problem with USB mics is generally their digital to analog converters are not that great. Because
they shove them
into a microphone body, and
they have to cut corners somewhere,
right?
Yeah, to pack it all into that little package,
right?
Yeah.
And sometimes there are shortfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are some good USB mics out there, but I guess what Blue is trying to do is they're like something that you can, toss on your laptop,
yeah,
and that way when you're on the road, it makes things a little bit easier. You don't have to have a nice stand or anything like that. And they make a couple like that are supposed to be...
They make the Snowflake. They make all sorts of cute little microphones.
Are they all named after strippers or just...
that may be. We're not exactly sure.
But, I think what sets this...
Nessie!
Exactly. I think what sets this one apart from the other blue USB mics, because they do make a lot of different ones.
They sure really, do.
It's really compact size, but also still having a really high quality pickup. I mean, it's low noise. The Yeti, the big thing about the Yeti was, like, it's all about how quiet of a mic can we make. They made it, they had it THX certified, which is a weird standard to go by
yeah.
for.
Yeah, it'll sound great in a movie theater.
Yeah, I mean, I don't quite understand how a microphone can be THX certified, but I guess the point was that the mic was clean, it was low noise.
Right.
So I guess they've taken that technology and taken it to a more portable format.
Yeah, it sort of looks like an RCA Veracoustic. Perhaps that was the design they were looking for.
It has a really cool vintage look to it. It's a mic that will work with PC, Mac, iPhone, and iPad. So it's multi-versatile.
Okay.
And it's very compact. And it has a desktop stand that it comes with. And the desktop stands, I'm always thinking, how convenient is a desktop stand going to be for voiceover if you have to lean over at your mic on your desk? Maybe not the greatest thing. But the fact that you can actually... have everything you need portable to take with you is pretty cool. Yeah.
It's probably more forgiving than the Epigee mic, which will take a plosive from 20 paces.
Yeah, I think one reason
20 paces.
They're talking about this feature called their patent-pending internal acoustic diffuser, inspired by treatments found
in studios.
Well,
we can show the pictures of this. This is like...
All
these things that
I could send a link to Andrew, put it in the show notes. Maybe he can fly it in, Andrew.
Yeah,
I'll put it right after the second... Right at the bottom of the bumper tech questions there. And
there we go.
That link and maybe Andrew can fly it in really, really fast.
Really, really fast.
But yeah, they have this interesting thing called the IAD, which is their internal acoustic diffuser. By diffusing noise and reflections as they enter the microphone, IAD focuses your voice or instrument while minimizing the sound of the room. So you get the results of a professional studio wherever you are.
Okay.
That sounds like
in English.
Somewhat science fiction-y kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I mean, I give them props for trying new things, not being afraid to be creative. Mm-hmm. They're showing how the mic folds up really small. It's very portable. So anyway, that's an interesting mic. I'm glad some of our viewers are brave enough to buy things that none of us have reviewed before and let us take a listen.
Yeah.
But I think it sounds pretty darn good. And if you want to have a bag you can throw in your laptop bag, a mic you can throw in your laptop bag.
Absolutely.
This could be a nice option.
How much?
I think it sells for about $200. So
that's a lot for a USB mic.
It's a lot for a USB mic. It's clearly gunning for the Apogee mic, which is also about $200.
Right.
It's the same sort of shape and size as the Apogee mic. It does have a proper gain control on the side, which is good. And it also has what the Apogee mic doesn't have, and that is a headphone jack. So if you're someone that really does want to be able to monitor yourself, it does have proper no latency monitoring. And it has a mute button, so if you're doing a Source Connect something or other, you can cut the mic and not be heard when you're swearing about the bad script writing.
Okay, that's a bit of a problem. All right. All right, so,
What else are you looking at for holidays for folks? Because that could be an option. That's a stocking stuffer.
That would be a big, for somebody who really likes to give nice gifts.
Yeah.
People are always asking, what's the best microphone for voiceover?
What's the best microphone for a stocking stuffer?
For a stocking stuffer? Well, that might be nice.
It might be it.
An Epigee.
Take it out of the box first.
Yeah, well, yeah, otherwise it's going to.
Yeah,
you're gonna tell there's a box in my stocking, for the most part, there's a lot of cool stuff that people can get for holiday gifts, especially if you're in voiceover. But it might be things that perhaps you hadn't thought about, like a really nice
mic arm,
like this reticulating arm that we have here, pull something like this down. And it makes things a lot easier. Certainly, when you said, hey, why don't we put one of these in your studio? It allowed me to do all sorts of things. It also freed up one of my other booms.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now using that for other things.
Yeah, I love these types of arms. The particular one I have on my right here is made by Heil, H-E-I-L.
As is the one on the left.
Yeah. Is that a Heil too?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Heil HB1. This one is affordable. It's not a very expensive one. Some of them get way over $100. This one's about, I think, $70, something like that.
Yeah, it's good because you can mount with a shock mount on it. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have a shock mount, it really doesn't matter. Of course, now I have to re-aim my mic to make sure
this,
I'm getting...
This works with any standard 5/8 thread mic mount.
Right.
So basically any mic you buy in the U.S. will screw onto one of these boom arms.
And we all know how important that is.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people's studios are just too damn small to fit a proper mic boom. You know, like a floor stand with an arm on it. They're
right.
Just too, it's too cramped.
It is.
You're always
trying to get it over your shoulder to
around
try and get it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But to properly hang the mic upside down the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, people keep saying, I get a lot of people who have a mic on a desk stand and saying, well, you know, because they have a Yeti or something along those lines. And it's like, well, anytime you put it on a desk, it creates all sorts of problems.
Picks up resonances and noises.
Bass reflex. And it's like the second you get it off the desk, it's great.
Yeah.
So one of these, you know, attached to a wall, as long as the wall is not attached to, say, a train station, it should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what now? It can't be attached to a train station?
It cannot be attached to a train station.
Fair enough. That's where I was. Jeez.
Yeah, or an airport. Or, yes,
an
or.
Airport either?
No, no airports.
No forms of transportation.
Transportation is out.
All right.
It is right out.
We all know how people write to us and talk about, I'm in the flight path from Burbank Airport, or LAX, or, you know, or O'Hare.
Or my gardeners in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
The Holy Grail is going to be a mic that you can use in a noisy environment that absolutely perfectly cancels out all the background noise.
416.
Without causing any, you know, bizarre effects in the process.
That would probably be a good gift for everybody. Is while we were on Studio Month, when we were touring around Los Angeles looking at all these different studios, one of the constants that we heard from Mark Rao and Dave and Dave Studio and
Andrew Feliciano,
Andrew and Tim Friedlander,
Soundbox, Soundbox LA.
Tim is actually here, by the way.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
In a way, he is.
Yeah.
hologram.
Is that the 416 seems to be the go-to mic for all sorts of stuff now?
Yeah.
So
it's pretty versatile.
A 416 might make a really nice gift.
That's for the well-heeled gift giver.
Yeah. Yeah. If you give that as a gift or ask for it as a gift, you know you are definitely in somebody's
favor.
Let
me give a little warning about the 416.
Please.
It's a great mic, but do not buy one used from just anybody on eBay.
Somebody who's been using it as a hammer.
No. There are a lot of counterfeit 416s
really?
Out there. Oh, heck yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. What a specific thing to counterfeit.
I know. They knock those things off, and they look just like them. They have serial numbers on them, the whole deal. I mean, they're very hard to distinguish, but they just don't sound right. They do not sound like the real deal.
That might be the most important advice given here so far. that's an expensive mistake.
In other words, if you find a modern 416, MKH 416 online, on eBay or something, buy it now for, say, $400, it's probably counterfeit. Because anybody that has that mic,
$400, you know,
anybody that has that mic and knows what it is knows it's worth easily $500-$600, easily maybe more. So they sell new for about $1,000. So just be really careful. My advice is if you're going to buy one used, get an older one, a 415, because nobody's knocking off a 25-year-old mic.
And 415.
It's like buying a counterfeit Corvair.
Right.
Yeah. They just don't do it.
Yeah. Who'd want
exactly.
one?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know it's going to be authentic. Or a 416T, which is another variation on the mic that's what's called a T-powered mic. It's what they used to use in the field for doing sound mixing on movies and stuff.
Right. It's withholding, what did you call it, a Hollywood pole? Is that what it was called?
Or boom.
A handheld boom.
Yeah.
You know, an overhead boom.
Yeah, you're like that.
I had to do that for a while. It was hard. But just be really careful if you're going to buy one used. Check out who it is and make sure they have a refund, you know, a refund policy.
Cool.
But
make sure the number is at least 416. If it's like 4.35,
it's not going to be.
Thing.
It should be exactly 416.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you guys said I wasn't going to be much help in this part. Right. A Sennheiser.
Or a genuine
Sennheiser. Not going to happen.
A Norman mic? Those are really good.
Normans. The Normans.
Somebody named Norman must be making microphones somewhere in Czechoslovakia.
My Uncle Nyman.
Czech Republic. Okay. Anyway, Scott Parkin is coming up if he hasn't done enough already.
Oh, geez.
Here on VoiceOver Body Shop. If you have a question for Scott or for us, toss it in the chat room.
The chat room tonight.
George is actually watching the chat room tonight.
George, you're going to get some questions like, what the hell is he doing there? Ask him that.
We'll find out. Anyway, we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop with Scott Parkin.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
VOBS is still on? Seriously?
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
Lights are on.
All righty. Well, you know, I was actually talking to David H. Lawrence the 17th the other night.
You were, for real.
I was. We were at the Voiceover Anonymous gathering in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, David, what's going on? You know, thank you so much for being a sponsor for our show. He's like, I have to tell you something. We're going to be starting the VO2GoGo.com school in January. So if you want to take some great classes from David H. Lawrence the 17th, that's the time to do it. From the beginning, because he doesn't just talk about this is doing voiceover. He really talks about the entire scope, the entire spectrum of doing voiceover. Because as we always say, it's not just talking into a microphone. It's also all about business and technology and performance. And he has a long course that once a month you get online with David and he teaches you everything he's ever learned about acting and voice acting. Well, maybe not everything, but almost everything that's important for you to know about what it is you need to do to be a voice actor. Because it's not just talking into a mic. It's a lot of things.
It's the clothes. It's how you hold yourself. It's where you definitely go. It's what
clothes.
You do.
Absolutely. The clothes make the voice
It's who
artist.
You are.
So anyway, go over to VO2GoGo.com and check it out beginning in January, which is just a week or so away. And but also you want to get the Rehearsal app, which you can get at Rehearsal.pro. So he's offering all sorts of cool stuff. Go over there. Go over to Rehearsal.pro. Check it out. And also go over to VO2GoGo.com because it's going to be a great time for you to join up and get the classes you need to make your performance what it needs to be. Anyway, thanks, David H. Lawrence, the 17th. And
is he really the 17th?
He was the 17th David H. Lawrence on the SAG-AFTRA roster.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he
that's
came up with that.
That's fabulous. Do you have to spell it different?
Apparently not. All right, we'll be right back.
That's fabulous.
You're still watching VOBS?
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
And we're back.
We're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. You know, Scott Parkin did his first commercial when he was 21 years old. Since then, Scott has appeared in over 150 TV commercials for companies like AT&T, Lowe's, Chevron, Ford, McDonald's, Doritos, Coca-Cola, Hyundai, T-Mobile, Applebee's, Las Vegas, the entire city of Las Vegas.
Yes.
Okay, Clorox, Toyota, Pfizer, Coors, and many more, if that's not enough. Scott's worked steadily in commercials for over 25 years, steadily.
I'm not that steady, my friend.
We know that. Over this time, he's developed the skill set to get the call back and book the spot. With over 20 years of improvisation on stage and in TV commercials, Scott can teach you years of improvisation. How to broaden your range and bring the most to every script and take your very best shot at every commercial audition you get. He'll teach you how to book the room and book the room. That's what it says.
Yeah, make
an impression and stand out to both agency creatives and the directors so they bring you back for other commercial clients. Scott's written comedy for TV, network TV, done stand-up, and is a veteran of the comedy stage.
All that is reasonably... That's right.
Thank you very much.
Reasonably
Scott
true.
Parkin.
How are you, lad?
Welcome to
you
our show.
Well. I love your mustache.
Thank you very much. I love my mustache, too.
They gave me a mustache last week, and I wanted to get like a big Salvador Dali one, but... The Motel 6 people thought it'd be too much.
Most people wouldn't know who you were trying to be. Anyway.
That's true.
All right. Well, we've been wanting to have you on for some time.
Dude, I've wanted to come for some time.
We know you had some other commitments, but now you're here just for our last show.
Of course, it was court. Just say it. It's okay.
It was court.
Yeah.
All right,
and of course, you know, at 5:30 from my house, a mile from the beach in Venice, it's only an hour and a half here of move. God. Yeah, geez. But I made it.
You should have come for lunch, and then you would have been here right on time.
Maybe don't tell me how to run my life.
Okay.
How about that?
So, I'm betting.
Go on.
Like most comedians and actors, you were the class clown.
Oh yes, yes I was, and I was. You know, I was the third of three.
Oh, okay.
I was born in 62, and you know, 60s and 70s. If you wanted to get a word in, you better have a good story. It better be funny.
Right.
And you better be out of the old man's backhand, like just to the right of the old man's backhand.
Oh, man. My father moved me to the other side of the table just so he could reach me.
My folks moved and didn't tell me. So I mean, it's very similar. It's similar in a way.
So how did you get into acting from that? It's just a natural progression from that?
You know, I did an impersonation of John Lennon at a morning show. This was for 98.5 KZAP, The Cat in Sacramento.
Yeah, you can use the round glasses.
That's right, man. Hey, we'll be back with this from the King Biscuit Flower Hour from Led Zeppelin. No one else can get their hands on this. So it was early in the progressive FM days, and there was a morning show. Tom Cale and Alvin Alvin. I'm going to call him that. I don't remember where I parked. How am I going to remember 1977? So I did a voice. You know, I said, I never said we were more popular than Jesus. I just said the records were selling more. And one of the guys was like, hey, that's cool. Can you come down and do that at KZAP? And I was like, dude, no, really? KZAP? That's where, like, the door you guys play. Okay, I'll go. So I went down there and recorded that. And like a couple years later, I got an internship at the radio station. I auditioned for a television commercial that was horrible. It said that it was about non-repetition. That's when in radio they were like, look, we don't play all your favorite songs right in a row. We don't have a lot of repetition. I said repetition 8 times in the commercial. You hear bands like Yes, Led Zeppelin, The Beatles, without all the repetition. Because repetition isn't something you need. We play Foghat, Lynyrd Skynyrd, without all the repetition. So I did that. I auditioned for the commercial.
That's what we call a tight rotation on repetition.
Damn right it was. Yeah, 600 songs. So I did the commercial, and the program director said, yeah, you're pretty funny, and the morning guy needs a guy to cross over with. So I interned there, and did horrible, you know, Bill Murray from Caddyshack impersonation. It's Kentucky bluegrass crossed with a California cinch of man. So yeah, it's good. You know, we did that stuff. You know, you impersonate all your heroes. And so I got on the morning show there with little produced bits, and then he got fired and said, "Hey, I got fired, but it's okay. I made a tape from what we did, and we have an audition in Tulsa." And the guy from Tulsa called me and said, "Hey, are you coming to Tulsa?" And I said, "Yeah. Is that sure. one of the square ones in the middle?" Yeah. He said, "What?" And I said, "He goes, how far east have you been?" And I said, "Well, I've been to the Nevada side of Heavenly Valley, which was great because there's super good powder, but I'd never been further than that." So off we went to Tulsa. I left college, left the, you know, 12 units of communication degree. And I've always promised myself that at some point I'm going to go back to Sacramento State and try and get my money back for the first 85 units. But I literally left communications school, or a degree, to go work in the field. So I started radio when I was 21, and away we went.
How many years in radio?
I guess it had to be about 12 now, Dan. It ages a fella. You wake up at 4:20 and have to be interesting by 5:30. Yeah, no. So
I start hallucinating later on in the day.
I do that every day anyway, man. No, it was a great training ground. I work with real professionals. I don't think I even know how to I come from real radio guys like yourself that actually know how to work a mic when they talk And I learned that from Kevin Boom Boom Anderson, and he was a great broadcaster, started in Detroit. And when I would get around these guys, they'd all start talking, they'd all start throwing out call letters like, "Where did you start?"
WG.
Yes. They'd all start throwing out these call letters, and I'd be like, "Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about." And then they'd come up with these horrible promotions like, "We think the fall promotion should be Parade of Vets. It's where we get all the vets," and they're all like, "Oh, this is death." And I'm like, "That sounds great." And they're like, "Oh, you're so unjaded. You know, I was 21, I would like, I'll go. Yeah, man. Is there a tab? Do we get a beer tab?" So, you know, at 21, you're hardcore at it. After 5 years of waking up at 4:15, you're like, "Oh, this is harder." And then I got a gig in Dallas, which was a giant market and big morning show, and very hard. And you'd have to meet with the program director after every morning show, they'd come in and
go over the telescope of your show.
They have an air check machine, which records everything that you say for 3 hours. And they go, "Oh, well, what was that? I mean, so we don't mind the improv, Scott, as long as you plan for it." "Well, tomorrow at 8:50, I'll plan to have a golf improv around 8:50. It'll be 2 minutes." So, you know, it was high pressure, lots of dough, but, you know. And it was the 80s, so,
yeah,
you know.
Cool. So how did you get back into acting
and voiceover? That brings up a great story, Dan.
Okay. I'm glad
it's a long, pointless story. I'm going to tell it a loop now. After getting fired, you know, we're the highest paid migrant workers. It's what I call radio people, because you get fired, you're in the middle of the country.
They told you, we're going in a different direction.
Yes. And I said, "Does that mean it's a direction without me?"
Yes.
"We're going in a direction that doesn't include you."
The irony is you're the one going in a different direction, because you've lost a job. Now you have to,
because you don't have any money or a place to stay.
Freaking country.
So when I was in Tulsa, I got fired, and I was literally like, cool. All right. I got some cash in the bank and a couch. So I had an ad that said, I can't believe it is, "Come Saturday morning starting at 8, meet Z104 morning personality Scott Parkin, buy his things." So I had a garage sale, and like a bunch of people showed up. I had a bunch of t-shirts like, "What's up? They fired you, man. I can't believe it, man. Play more ZZ Top." So, you know, back across the country and then back out to Dallas. And then I think in Dallas, I was starting to do more voiceover at the time, and I always want to look at you guys, too, because there's an audience here. So I started doing more voiceover, and by the time they fired me that time, after I came back, I covered the Albertville Olympics in France in 92, and I came back, and it was like, when you go by, they sort of, "How's it going?" And then one day you go up, and I'm going to use this as my door code. I went, "That's weird. The door code doesn't, my code doesn't work." So I go to the front to talk to the girl, Heidi, who was fabulous in Mexico. And she said, "Oh yeah, Scott, I have to talk to somebody." And there was no one at the desk. I was like, "I think I've been fired." So I was fired, and at that point, I'd already had to sort of say, "Hey, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to miss today's shift, and I'd be shooting a commercial in Houston." So I started doing more voiceover and starting to have to stretch out there. So I was at that point. I said, "I'm not going to move again. I don't feel like moving." At that time, that was right when they changed the duopoly law, where more than one,
I couldn't own more than one station.
A giant company. Right, this was back in the day when there was wonderful little broadcast companies that they owned, like maybe a newspaper and two radio stations. And then by then, I think the year I got fired, KVIL was in Dallas, and it got flipped 98 times in one day to where it became like a paper entity. It doesn't even exist anymore.
It was a baseball trading card.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it was very sad because now radio is owned by four companies. So they don't. So you used to be able to go get fired and go, "Well, I'm going to go across the street and kick your ass at the Big Rockin' Weasel." Yeah, they own that company too.
That was the time to get out of radio.
It was.
That was what, like 92, 91, 92?
Yeah. And I was asked to get out of radio.
so as was I.
I did. And at that point, I had a great agent in Dallas, and one of the top guys there, and did that. And the rest is quiet, small little my history.
Yeah. How'd you get back to California?
Plane. I took a plane. Good. No, I drove. I drove with my stuff.
I'm glad you didn't.
I drove with my stuff.
And
in 98, I got, I'd done a four-level Groundlings thing with the founder of the Groundlings in Dallas, a lot of improv, 4 to 5 doctors, one of the greatest groups in Dallas, man. And I wanted to, my buddy was writing for Roseanne, and I wanted to get back to California. So in 98, I got married and moved back here and had a baby in 2000 and got divorced and continued to do voiceover. So
all at the same time.
Pretty much. It was damn close. I was married for just about about 4 years, 4.5 years, just under 5. So you don't have to pay alimony forever.
Okay. Yeah. So you.
Right. Yes. We're trying to cheer people up.
Yes.
No, it's gone really well. It's gone really well. So I have a fabulous daughter, Miranda Park, and she's a great voice. She just did 2 McDonald's spots last week, and she's a commissioned artist. And
yeah, I was going to say, quite the artist,
hilarious.
Too.
Yeah, she's hilarious and fabulous, and we live a mile from the beach, and we see every Star Wars movie that comes out. So
it's important. Now, you've been doing TV commercials.
You've
done a lot of on-camera stuff, but also voiceover. And now, to get booked on those types of spots, you got to be doing something. So what is it? I'm not going to say what's your secret, but what is the basics to really always booking the spot?
When you talked about booking the room,
yeah.
and that's a thing where each time you audition, it's a chance to get more work. It may not be for that job, but each of those agencies has, like the Richards Group, my buddy Christopher Smith. What's up, Chris? he's working on 38 different commercials currently. 38 different clients. And so if they like you, they like you. So each time you go in there, you put your very best foot forward, and maybe it's not right in your wheelhouse. Like right down the center for me is, wow, I never thought of that. That's a great light beer and it tastes great. So, you know, it's some version of that. That's right down the middle. So I always tell folks that they need to be able to hit that, the far side of that, which is, right now, Rent-A-Center, you can get 5 of those for just $8. And if I drive just a little slower, maybe I can hang on to my daughter just a little longer. Right? You got to, and you have to, in order to make a living at it, you have to hit everything in between. You got to find out where that middle is and then push that level as far as you can go on either side.
Right.
And when you go into that audition, if it's not right in your wheelhouse, stretch out. If you're not likely to book it, if it's like, boy, this is, like for me, that would be like, in a time when people, you know, I'm not going to get that. So I'm going to do something different, and I'm going to swing for the fence. Because if it's here, I'm going conservative. I'm going to try and take the best. All you can do is take your highest percentage guess. You read that spec. You find out where the argument was between creative and the client. Right?
Yeah.
We talk about this today. What spot was it? Oh, let's say Olive Garden.
We'll say Olive Garden.
It wasn't, but it was like it was a new director, and he was like, "Well, I'm kind of new on this. What do you think?" And I said, "Well, it says very conversational, but it's and not sappy, but it's written really sappy and very warm,
and it's written in commercial style,
right? It's like, written,
conversational?
You know,
yeah.
You know, when the snow comes down this time of year, you know, and they're saying not sappy. So there you can see that fight. You know, you can see that fight between the agency who wants to do something that's memorable and interesting and that'll stick with people, and the client who's like, look, we've got to get to the price, and there's snow, and we're a warm, fuzzy client. So you find out where that battle is, and you take your best guess for your first take. And on your second take, you stretch out a little more. That's free. That was free.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right?
Just in case you were wondering.
That is one of those things where if you do that, you take a higher percentage shot at it, and that agency that listens to that goes, okay, I like that. I like Esther. She's good. She's not perfect for this, but we're working on this other thing that's for Tiger Shoes that I think she'd be great for. And then they sort of remember you. And so you want to take that highest percentage guess so you book the room.
Right.
In on-camera commercials, when you're going in there, if you're low maintenance and you bring something to it, your job, like Dee Bradley Baker taught me this one. Your job is to help them solve the problem, and you have to bring something. You know, you got 200 people in the hallway who are all are bald. Thanks. This is a toupee. It's not a good one. But they all look like you, and so if everything's equal, what do you bring to the party that's a little different? What do you bring that's like, oh, okay. And again, your agency, your client is there. They just care about now. The director's there. He's going to be working on something else next week. The agency has 20 other clients, right? So if you book that room, then your percentage goes up because you book that room and then you have Dave Layden's a director that likes me, brings me in on everything. I'm not right for everything, even if he brings me in on it. But I have more shots. If you get more shots, you book more gigs. The more shots you can get, the higher your booking percentage. So if you solve their problem, they want... When a casting director is listening to your tape or looking at your tape, they want you to book it. They got five roles. They're like, oh, my God, book the girl, book the young dad. Please, we have to get to dinner. We have five. We're listening to 200. You have to stand out. So you take that shot and you make an impression on the director and the agency and hope that that client likes you.
Right. Now, last week we had Everett Oliver on with us, and he was talking about the audition. How do you do that when you're by yourself?
I have the toughest time. I love my agents, DPN. I signed with ICM in 1998, and they have great booth directors. They have four booth directors, and they're all great. I am not Marilyn Wisner's self-direct app is very helpful for me for cutting my time down from 5 hours to 20 minutes. It really is about looking at that spec. What do they really mean?
And do they really mean it?
Do they really mean it? Yeah. That's the real question. They're saying they want super conversational, but they've mentioned the price 8 times. You know, just like people conversationally talking about how much a pizza costs. It's $5.88 for just 5 pieces. No, right now you get to that till Thursday. Hurry in today. Offer ends Thursday. You know, we know that what they really want. Yeah, what they really want. So what they really want when they say conversational is not like you and I have a conversation. They want, and they don't want like real, when they say real, they don't really want real. They don't want people like, I like pizza with different meats on it. Cause I like meat. I like sausage. And I like, what's the round one that's like a sausage?
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni. I like pepperoni. Those are all great meats. That's real. That's real, real.
Yeah, but not great for commercials.
But not so great. Yeah. Although I think,
do you think
Pizza Hut, I think we just did one that I think might work in Trump's America. but what they really want is something that doesn't sound, right now you can get sausage, pepperoni, and three different types of cheeses. Just keep deep frying it till it's as big as a phone. They don't want something like that either.
Right.
So they want something that sounds conversational, but... you have to find that balance between super polished and meat. right?
Makes total sense.
There, let's go into the bumper stickers. So you take that and you go, I like my pizza with a couple different types of meat. I love sausage. I love linguica. I love Canadian bacon. I don't know why, but Canadian bacon just tastes great. I don't know if it's from Canada or it's the way it's shaped, but I like Canadian bacon. To me, that's a pizza. So that's how you split the difference between the two of those, hopefully. Was that right? Was that right? Thanks, you guys. You guys, clap. You've done nothing this whole time.
Very supportive audience here tonight.
All right.
We're grateful to have you, by the way.
We're very grateful. You got through security okay?
Yeah.
You didn't.
All right.
Okay. You searched five times.
Right.
And there goes the ratings.
All right.
Whoosh! Esther's naked! I was in Esther's Naked off Broadway for 2 years. I was Stephen, the lawyer.
Anyway.
Are we going to a break?
We are
going to
go to a break.
Oh, this will be great, you guys. Wait to the break.
Yeah, if you've got a question for Scott Parkin or for George and I or for anybody that's here, by the way, just throw it in the chat room. And, you know, I think George is watching the chat room tonight because Anthony Hanson. Yeah,
George left an hour ago.
And we'll get that on. But we also, since we have a fine audience tonight of great voice actors, we're going to have a little fun with some improv.
You think?
We are. So stay tuned.
For the train wreck.
Oh, yeah. On VoiceOver Body Shop. We'll be right back.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about you.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV. Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
All right.
I reached the top and had
little
to
musical interlude
that's
there.
What's bothering me.
Thank you very much.
It's old radio, buddy. It's old radio.
I know.
It's coming back from that break.
All right.
Whoa. Sit. That was a dog. I was a dog, I swear to God.
Anyway.
Esther's fully clothed at this point.
You know, it being the holiday season, and George and I were talking about holiday gifts just a little while ago, if you want to make it real easy for yourself for giving gifts, if you happen to have another voice actor in your family, it tends to run in families. It's apparently a disease. But if you,
it's like rickets,
and if you're in your booth long enough, it will happen. Harlan Hogan over at voiceoveressentials.com has everything you could possibly need to give as a voiceover gift. Now, perhaps you have someone in your family who's not a voice actor. Perhaps you could make a suggestion to them. Hey, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Hanukkah? What do you want for Kwanzaa? Or what do they call it?
Festivus.
Festivus, yes. Whatever it is you want.
That's the thing, Festivus.
If someone's asking you, tell them to go over to voiceoveressentials.com because if they go through there, they're going to see something that perhaps meshes with your personality. Something that would work for you as a voice actor. And the great thing about VoiceOver Essentials is that you can go in there. He has everything you could possibly need, including some stuff that is made specifically for voiceover, like the VO1A microphone.
Lights are on.
George, show George with the VO1A microphone there. There it is right there.
Oh, that's fabulous. Look at that.
There it is. The VO1A.
Sell it, George. Don't give it away.
Made for voiceover. Thank you, Carol Merrill.
You're dating yourself.
I know. Very
bad. At least you don't have to dress up.
Yeah, thank you. Also, the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones, which are very flat sounding. And we'll give you, you'll sound like what you sound like, not what some, headphone manufacturer wants you to sound like. Along with all the other great things he has, including his books by every voiceover author there is out there. Those make great gifts. So make sure you go over to voiceoveressentials.com. Great customer service. If you don't like it, you can send it back. But if you bought it, chances are you wanted it in the first place. Because you know Dan's number one rule of retail, never walk into some store not knowing what you want. Always, thank you very much.
That's right.
That's the most important
thing. You control
the
big board, Dan.
All right. And the category is voiceover equipment, and go over to voiceoveressentials.com. The best way to get there is if you're watching the show right now and you need to also do some Christmas shopping at the same time, just go to the bottom of the page. You'll see a picture of Harlan talking into his legendary Portobooth Pro or Portobooth Plus. I can't remember exactly what exactly which one it is, but... It's one of those.
I'm sorry.
Darn.
He was
and
so close.
That will take you right to his website where you will see the plethora and large selection of things that he
has. That's our secret word, plethora.
All right. Well, Duck going to come down and give me $50?
Ah, look at you.
All right.
I love Groucho.
Thank you.
That's right. The Duck will come down. Are you done with it?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
Anyway.
Wow. We got on the bus, but we never really...
I know.
All right. Sure.
Harlan's been our
fine.
Sponsor for 5.5 years.
God love him.
60 episodes here on VoiceOver Jeez. Body Shop. So we really appreciate it. Go do your shopping over at voiceoveressentials.com. We're going to have some fun with Scott Parkin right after this little tiny break.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at atlandproductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing. Or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS and VOBS.TV.
All right. And fade music. All right.
Well done, Scott.
That was Mungo Jerry from 19.
All right. I remember that because I remember seeing it on the listing for the show. Jerry Mungo. No, it's
Mungo Jerry.
Darn.
My favorite screwed up introduction was from the overnight guy. When in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and when we got in.
An overnight guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That says a lot right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says drink. He said, and that was, he had a couple of them. That was Sweet Bloody Jew Eyes. And the other one, that was Steely Dan from Aja. No, it's Asia.
Yeah, or whatever.
But Bloody Jew Eyes. Oh, we got a call.
All right. And we know what we have to do when the call comes in here on Voice Over Body.
What do we do?
I don't know.
Yes.
We pick it up.
That's right.
We always do.
We always do.
We
People
always
have learned,
do.
Don't call while we're doing the show.
Oh, you're going to put in the air.
Coaching.
Call in now.
Yeah. Now, you're coaching.
I am.
It seems like since I've arrived in Hollywood that everybody's coaching.
There is. I talked to Marilyn Wisner a long, long time ago.
Who is a coach, by the way.
Who's a wonderful coach, and she runs a fabulous school. But she said, you know, we don't really have anybody that does that conversational real read, which...
About
70-75% of reads today are some version of that. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. And so we did it, and I had a great time. I really enjoyed teaching in general. I teach kids to act. I teach whether people want it or not. I teach people to surf. It's obnoxious most of the times, but when they ask, it's okay. But a couple of the people went, wow, do you coach privately? And she said, yes. And I said, yes, I
of
do.
Course.
So that was about a year and a half ago. And I really enjoy it. But there is an awful lot of coaches. And there's an awful lot of coaches that are awfully expensive. And I just want to say to the next people that call in, I will give you a good deal. I keep my rates low for the journeyman voiceover person. And when I got hooked in with the VO Collective, there's all these new and wonderful people that have such a juice for the industry and the artistry of it that I keep it very reasonable, under 150, like anywhere from 120 to 130 for about 70 minutes. And I think that's really about what it should be. I don't, unless it's Anthony Hopkins, I'm not paying $200 an hour. Or, no, I mean, I just don't see... And this likely will get me in trouble, but
that's okay.
$200 an hour is just, I just don't know what someone can teach you in an hour for $200 other than some sort of...
how to make more money.
Yes, how to make more money. Hi, welcome to the seminar. How many, who wants to make money? Do you want to make money? Do you want to make money? We're going to make a lot of money today. We're going to go into breakout groups and each of those will be $1,000. No, there are some really good coaches out there. Mary Lynn is great. You are great. Dave Walsh is great. There's some wonderful coaches with great information. I like when I work with a coach. I've worked with Dave. I've actually taken Dave's. Jeff Howell has coached me in promo. I like practical application. I like somebody. These are a few things like you were talking about, what to look for in a microphone or in branding. For me, if you're looking for a coach, find somebody who is working, either producing, casting, or voicing currently, because the stuff is changing so rapidly that if you're not with somebody who knows what the trend is, they may be taking you down a box canyon that has already happened. And hey, you have this great skill set that was great 8 months ago. Look for somebody who has clients that you can actually say, oh.
There's no water in there.
I thought it was a clock. I was like, I'm sorry. That's all the time we ever. Look for somebody who is working either from a production standpoint, producing commercials, directing commercials, or voicing commercials. Not just a coach. I'm not saying that somebody who doesn't do those things can't coach. They can. But your percentage goes up with somebody who's looking at scripts. I look at 25 to 30 scripts a week. Either auditioning or stuff is sent to me to coach somebody. So you want somebody who knows what's happening as far as where the trends are and what's the type of reads that they're looking for. You want somebody that's working. I'm working. Thank the Lord above, you know, because it's crazy. It can go away at any moment. No one's guaranteed anything. You want someone that's working. You want someone who knows what's happening currently, and you want somebody who has some experience. If they say, oh, I'm a great coach, I'm amazing, it's going to be huge, you know, it's the same sort of principle. Okay, who do you work with? Have they booked anything? Where can I find out what they sound like? That's the kind of thing. Due diligence is important. Don't just go, oh my God, I want to get into voiceover. I'm going to get a coach. Because it's not, you know what you have to have? You know what you got to have to be a coach these days? You got to be able to say, I'm a coach. And that's about it. It's not a regulated thing. It's not like there's a...
We're working on it, though.
We're working on it. And hopefully hopefully the industry corrects itself. Because people that are charging huge amounts of money and don't have any clients that are actually booking things and that don't either cast, produce, voice, you know, it's very simple to see the people that are actually making waves and getting people work and helping them. Nobody, if someone says they can get you work, they're lying. Nobody can get you work. All I can do is hopefully raise your percentage. Because if I knew how to get somebody work, you know the first person I would do that for? Me. I would go, hey, I figured out a way. It's a holy grail. And here's how you, the holy grail. Here's how you go do it. Anybody that says they can get you work is not telling the entire truth. If they can help you increase your odds of getting work, that's a good coach. You can tell. Don't sign up for long-term agreements with a coach before you've worked with them once. That goes for anything.
One at a time. See how it goes.
Consider it like figure skating. Who is your figure skating coach? Do they have somebody in the Olympics or do they have somebody in Bakersfield doing really well? You know, like you do. You were a figure skater for a long time.
I was a hockey player, but
same thing.
I know.
That's not even close to the same thing.
We got some questions from our vast audience scattered throughout the four corners.
Yes, we do.
Shoot. I'm all any questions locally?
Yep.
Dog's happy?
We'll get there. All right. George.
Yes,
all right,
we do.
George.
First
Missy
one
George.
Comes in. Hey, man, good to see you over there.
Good to see you, too, buddy.
First one comes from Paul Stefano. Paul's question for Scott is, how did you get into on camera? And was it intentional, or did you just meet someone during a voice gig that liked you?
I got into on camera, like I said, from 98 KZAP. I auditioned for a commercial, and I got the commercial. I was a model. I was a stand, like in a store. Like I was very cute in my 20s.
And you're good looking, Dave.
I was super cute. This area here, really super hot. So yeah, I did it that way, and I always, you know, I was always a class clown. I, you know, memorized Frost Nixon with Eric Idle and Dan Aykroyd, and did that at some comedy contests, and got some great notices in Sacramento in 1978. So it's pretty. No, I you know, I've always been outgoing, and on camera was where I wanted to be. I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. That was a dream of mine. Still gonna not happen. But you know, commercials was the path of least resistance. You could be very funny. You could do an awful lot, and you could, you know, put a roof over your head and put food on the table. So that, I mean, I got in through doing a voiceover, actually. I mean, or through working in radio and getting better at that, and being willing to take a risk. Mm-hmm. So. And on camera is a weird beast. You can be a bunch of different shapes, sizes, and looks, especially today. It's not all just, they'd always like, here, stand by this fire or hold this dolly. Or, you know, I was always like a blue collar guy because I wasn't like the, you know, at the time it was Duran Duran and Nagel. So it was very, you know, really cool looking angular people. And I just was never that. Mm-hmm. So I would say, find your thing. Find your brand, what you look like, where you fit. I say this about voiceover. People say, I want to get into voiceover. Cool. Listen to the radio.
Are you sure you want to get into voiceover?
Wake up. You slap them. And then go, okay, if you want to, look at television. What are the voiceovers? Where do you fit? Could you do that? Do you feel like, well, I could come close
to
that.
Are you Josh Brolin?
Right, right. Do you feel like you could talk like that? Can you talk like this? Or are you more like, what was it, Hal Ryan? We used to do Hal, my buddy used to write for Hal Riney, and it was like, it's John Deere mowers. They're mowers for people who want to mow. I mean, it was like they were selling local avails in the passes. But I mean, it's find out where you fit. And that goes with on camera too. I could do that. I'm in that area. Is there enough in that area? Are you a young mom? Young moms work a lot. This is always my pet peeve with commercials. Women go, God, we're portrayed so poorly. Think about how guys like he and I are, honey, I ate too much. I don't know how to measure whether I'm eating too much, and now I'm sick. And I think I peed myself, and, oh, honey, help. Sorry.
So realistic.
That's pretty bad. I mean, guys are not poor. I like beer, because beer is cool. There's a girl. I mean, we're not portrayed, and that's not far from the truth, let's be honest.
It really is.
But, I mean, find where you fit. That goes for voiceover, too. Any others?
Jackson Daniel, he says, can you share a
Jack
story?
Daniels.
Yeah, he likes to go by Jackson. Can you share as a story of when you went way out there, no one near the given specs on the script, but just the feeling it was just right, and you landed something that way?
Something really cool.
I did, Michael Cerny said, hey, we're doing these commercials for Vegas. And it's all improv, and we want you to come on the location scout. And I was like, okay, no, they don't take actors on location scouts. So they said, yeah, wear your hat and your pork pie and your shirts. And so we just winged it. And I talked to I went up on the Treasure Island thing, and I went, are you all pirates? Are you all from other parts of the country? And so they taped the whole thing, and I stretched out every time they cracked a mic. And when you improv, as you know, it's not all going to be great.
Right.
Some of it's going to be like, what the hell?
And we're going to find out.
What was he thinking?
Crickets.
So, yeah, I stretched out. I'm going to be honest with you. I stretch out probably a lot more than I should. If my daughter knew how often I took a giant risk to try and land something, she'd be like, man, how's that going to pay for college? But I do, I'll tell you one time. There was an Applebee's spot where the specs were so, it was like, he's wise, but not very bright. He's a sage, but pretty rowdy. It was like, and the specs were about a paragraph. I read the paragraph of specs as my audition.
Because the line was actually just a tag.
The line was four words, and the specs were this long. He's, you know, he's wise, but not too Western. He enjoys fishing, but not with people. You know, it was just insane. But I didn't get that one. So, but it makes for a great story, and I still use that copy because direction you get is going to be sometimes diametrically opposed. It's literally, we want it conversational, but about the price. $7.99. Mm-hmm. There's no way to say price very conversational because we don't talk like that. Hey, George, $8.44.
Yeah.
By Thursday. Yeah. Hurry soon. Yeah, it just doesn't, you know. So I would say I stretch out a lot. I stretch out a lot. Probably a lot more than I should.
It's your thing, man.
Yeah. Did I answer that?
I think one of the things that keeps your memory burned into their
You'd hope. I mean, I do change. I always say don't improvise a hell of a lot on your first take. The other thing is we used to tag things a lot. It was like, what's a tag? They don't listen to the tag a lot. They don't listen to the first 20 seconds. I'm sorry. This is sad. And
explain
it's hard
for
news.
The uninitiated.
A tag is at the end of the spot where you come in and it goes, get those now till Thursday. And then you go, well, but wait, I'm not terribly bright or whatever your tag is going to be. Mm-hmm. You say it at the end of the spot. Kenny Campbell told me, you know, they're not listening to the whole spot. So if you're going to say something funny, do it up front.
Do it up front.
So I say do it up front. Do it on your second take.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man.
So all right. You don't want to piss them off too much. So writers, I mean, I've written a lot of radio and I've produced a lot of radio. And if you're, they usually throw the radio to the new guy. And he's been working on it for 3 months. And he's gotten the crap beat out of him. Like, look, no, it just doesn't scream ham, you know, or whatever it is. And so by the time he gets in there, he really wants to hear what he wrote. Because he fought for that. Somebody fought for those. And if there's a little joke, if there's a tiny little, well, it says spiral cut. And that's the only joke they have. It's a and you go, well, it's not terribly funny, but it's kind of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody fought really hard to get that joke through the web of lawyers and clients and people that are like, well, how does that say ham?
Right.
You know, and so somebody fought for that. So you have to land that joke. You have to do it. You have to practice it and listen to it. Is that I know it's not a big joke and I'm not going to try and make it, you know, spiral cut. I'm not going to try and make it bigger than it is, but you have to land the jokes that get through the net because the writer will like you. And if the writer likes you, that helps because he's going to work on other stuff. But if you totally usurp the writer and blow him off, then he's not going to fight for you because he's been in his little cubicle, like, you know, drinking coffee and writing five spots for, hey, that's my leg pizza. And he really wants to hear what he wrote. Mm-hmm. So you got to give him a good portion of what he wrote. I'm a better writer.
Yeah. Speaking of ham, Wackadoo Gonzalez wants to know, what's your favorite breakfast food at a Santa Monica recording studio?
Oh, dude, that has to be anything at Lime.
Yeah.
Lime Studio, they have like...
They pull out the stops, huh?
They have chefs. They hire chefs. And they'll go, and you'll sit there, and as long as you can look like... It's like casinos. A casino, as long as you're like... Yeah, I'll take a card. As long as you look like you're gambling, they have to keep bringing you drinks. As long as you look like you're at a gig, Lime will keep going, you want to have a refresh on your cocoa? So I would say the raspberry walnut scones at Lime will change your life. They'll change your life.
I'm sold.
They'll do anything. They literally go, well, we're doing these eight things. Yeah. I did this is a million years ago. I was in Dallas, and Walker Texas Ranger was there, and it was karate and cowboy, so it was really popular in Asia. So in that show, it was like, after a while, I'd be like, have you been on this? No. All right, you're the killer. And you had to be, if you, this is going to piss off Chuck Norris.
Put on this red uniform.
Yeah, but if you, that's Star Trek. I don't know why they're like, go, oh, Johnson, go look at that. Go check that sound. Just say I'm going to freaking die. Just shoot me. Tell me I'm going to die. But if you were over 5'6", you were a bad guy. On Walker, Texas Ranger, because Chuck Norris didn't want people going, way to go, Walker, you kicked that guy's ass. So no good guy's taller than 5'4". So I was a bad guy. And it blew me away because you get there and it's catered to the gills. And there are actors that have been flown out from L.A. And at that time, I was like, wow, he's flown out from L.A. He's like, you know, first class. Like, so, yeah, kick ass, right? And so I'm in the front of the line and I'm like, oh, man, great. They got shrimp. And he goes, what? He was behind me and he goes, they got shrimp? I'm like, dude, you have a hotel. You have 3 days per diem. What do you care if food is really important out here. If you have good food, you know, they will come to your studio, mm-hmm. you know. Lime is one of those studios. Margarita Mix has great food. 11 has incredible food. All of them. I mean, it's look, I don't work like at those places all the time, so you can't just go by and go, hey, how's it going? Oh, breakfast. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd love a shirt. So, but when you get there, it's amazing, and it's a wonderful thing, knock on wood. Let's hope it happens for as many of you as possible.
All right. Last question we've got from...
Okay. We've got two more, actually.
Two more.
No one slipped
Kick
in
ass.
Out of the water.
Thank you, guys.
One's from our faithful producer, Catherine S. Curtin. She has a question about social media. Do you prefer Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn? What's the big one? Do we really need to have more followers? I mean, what's going on?
For me, MySpace is where it's at. That's the one. I have my great friend, and I'm going to mention him because I just adored him. He was one of my favorite people, the great Steve Susskind.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to say he had gotten a website to sell his pocket scarves. He used to have these pocket scarves, and I got a website. And I say, Steve, you know, how's your website going? He goes, well, if you have a website and you don't advertise, it's like having a warehouse in the desert. So for me, I like Facebook. I'm on there way too damn much, as anyone knows.
As everybody.
So I just started a site called America's Commercial Actor Scott Parkin. And I like Facebook a lot because I can do video of a fair amount of length. I can boost a post if I like something. I just did one where I was shooting Motel 6 and I did a character video and it got 8,000 views. For me, for my little world, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. I can put $20 and boost it over 5 days and send it to more people that I don't know. And if it starts getting shared... then that's a wonderful thing for me. It's the illusion that I'm successful.
Well, I mean, you're successful among 1.7 billion active users.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Facebook's pretty
good perspective there, George.
But I like Facebook. My daughter likes Instagram a lot. The young kids really love the Instagram. So right. I'm more active in that. Now you can go live on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
To say you don't need social media or do we need more followers, sadly, we need as many as you can get. Because once you start, I've started to book jobs from this America's Commercial Actor. People are like, hey, we'd like that guy and to talk about
the character you've created.
To talk about our car. And I'm like, America's Commercial Actor Scott Parkin doesn't sell out. Oh, mm-hmm. No, wait, that's the whole idea. Yes, I'd love to work for your car company.
Right.
So I think Facebook is a way to instantly reach a hell of a lot of people and you can choose whether you support it financially or... you know, I mean, you just have to go at it. I do think Bob West, a good buddy of mine, has showed me how, I still haven't done it, but he showed me how to do something where you can post one thing and it goes off across all formats. And you can also, on Facebook, you can schedule your post. So before you go to bed, you know, you have an hour and you go, okay, here's my next 8 posts are going to drop sometime tomorrow. I'm just learning how to do that stuff. But I freaking love Facebook. There's people that I would not talk to or not know about or just, I'm an overshare guy. I mean, if you see my Facebook post, it's way, I like writing stories. I like talking about my kid. I like talking about if I'm on the set, having a good time. There's so many people that you want to go, this guy's a grip. Nobody knows who he is, but he's freaking great. And he's, mm-hmm. you know, I like giving attention to people that nobody sees, you know. Studio guys, producers, and guys that run the board that, you know, probably don't want you to take their picture, but you do it. No, I mean, I feel
behind the scenes stuff is good.
I love it. Those guys are the backbone of it. You know, without them, you sound like crap and you look like crap. So I love, so I would start with Facebook. I don't think Twitter, I really got into hashtagging on at midnight. I cut a couple of jokes on the air and that was fun to write a joke, like, you know, take out a letter, make a movie. We did Planet of Them Apes, or add a letter, make a movie. You know, and that was fun for a while, but it really was like, and then you know, you burn
spiked.
Out on it. So I don't know. I don't know what Twitter's going to do right now.
Yeah.
But I need to do more Snapchat, but I love Facebook and I love Instagram.
But LinkedIn, is that something that you've dabbled with at all?
That's like the drunk uncle of social media. Yeah. I'm there. But, you know,
A classy drunk uncle.
Right. It's like somebody recommended or said, endorsed me for storytelling.
And I just, I said, once upon a time, thank you. I said, once upon a time, no one freaking cares. Because, you know, I think for our business, I don't think many of us are going to be hired for the, for real jobs. I think LinkedIn works great because they look at your resume. Oh, you're great one of my skills is saltwater fishing. Right. One of my skills is being able to talk in circles, or I can punch self in own mouth. I think for real basic stuff, tangible stuff, LinkedIn is great. I'm on there. I do maintain a presence there, but I'm not on there nearly as much as I am on Facebook. Or Assbook. I don't know if you have Assbook. It's a completely different thing.
Totally different concept.
I know you've probably shared a bunch of these, but the last thing to wrap it up for tonight is from D-Vox. Sure. And he says, do you have one unusual performance golden nugget, some technique that you use? You've shared a couple tonight, but...
Oh, I'm thinking of every weird...
Can you drop a nugget?
I played the number 3 in a Texas lottery spot, but ask me the question again. And I actually did the Spanish version. And they were like,
not just any performance technique golden nugget, but an unusual performance technique golden nugget. That's actually what
okay. I'm gonna give something away, and it's not something I don't think you know because you know Bob Newhart,
right?
And I grew up on him. I grew up on the albums because my folks. I got at 7. I was weird. I got comedy albums instead of toys, but. If you want to make something sound real, that we don't speak clearly. We don't know what we're going to say. So a lot of times, you don't want to stutter like a idiot.
Like Bob Newhart.
Like, but no, you can't. No, you can't. You know, remember that war movie? They hired him just to talk on the, soldiers.
Yeah.
No, you can't have, there's a lot of guns. But if it's and this is free. This is free. And I'm giving away my stuff here.
Hit the money button.
Yeah. It's, just take an extra little half, like, wow, that's, right now I can do that? That's it. That takes it from... Wow, right now I can do that to, wow, that's available Thursday? Cool. Just that little hesitation can make it sound much more real because when we're talking between you guys,
extemporaneously,
after this, when the camera goes off, we don't know what the hell we're going to say.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know. You don't plan out. Well, he does. He plans out paragraphs in advance of what he's going to say. His whole life is rehearsed. It's on a wall behind here. It's for God's sakes, it's so scary. But we don't know what we're going to say. So that little tiny, like I did a spot, I auditioned for a spot today, and I actually left this in because I thought it sounded good. And it was like, how do I tell my daughter that? How do I tell her that, you know, I'm not going to do the copy, but it was really solid, really emotional. But how do I do that? And that can make it sound much more warm, much more real, because none of us really know what the hell we're going to say. Mm-hmm. And if they say real and conversational, just add a little bit of that. If you go too much, it sounds like it sounds very forced and it sounds mm-hmm. like it's not yeah. conversational yeah. and planned.
Mm-hmm.
But a little tiny bit of that hesitation or wait, that this weekend? That's great. I love water slides. Is the big one open? You know, or whatever your version of that is. That probably sounds really disjointed. But anyway, who asked that question?
That was D-Vox.
A guy named D-Vox.
D-Vox, there you go, buddy. All That's right. $450 worth of information right there.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Bro.
We're going to take a real quick break here. You ready for that, Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Andrew's ready for anything, dude.
He is. That's
He's
why
the
he's
backbone.
Here.
Without him, you guys would be flailing. No, let's be honest. Yes.
Imagine what it was like for the prior episodes before him.
Oh, my God.
I think we all have those archived, don't we?
We do. They're all on YouTube.
Fortunately.
Anyway, we're gonna do a little extra segment tonight as a little bit of improv because we have some great people here. So come up with a good, quick little improv game.
All right. All right. All right.
We'll do that next on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth.
This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
We lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlantProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
All right, time for some improv here. Oh, now, improv God. Is very, very important to learn.
It frightens the hell out of you.
It beats the crap out of
you.
I'm always trying to think, well, can I say it's funny? But the trick is to listen. Right.
Yeah, the most important thing voiceover-wise or on stage is listening, because if I don't, if I say, Dr. Peterson, you're here for your appointment, and you don't hear Dr. Peterson, you don't know who the hell you are.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you have to hear that. And each time somebody drops a word or screws something up, that then becomes the bit. And
right.
If you watch, like, my favorite group, the Transformers, they will literally hone in on whatever the mistake was and beat that person into submission verbally. So what we're going to try here, and it's likely to be a train wreck, not like Amy Schumer's train wreck, which made millions. This will make $8. So we're going to start a scene, and then when George hits the bell, we'll have to change I'll change my answer.
Okay.
All right? Or whatever George says. All right? So give us a place where two people might meet, like a hotel. Okay, a hotel.
Hotel?
All right, you'll be the guy behind the desk.
Okay.
All right. So I'm coming into the hotel. The dogs are going to love this.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to check in.
Okay. Do you have a reservation?
I do. It's under parking. A party of two should be a suite, and I'm here for the convention.
Which convention is that?
He'll hit the bell anytime. I'm here for the convention about fishing.
Fishing, the fishing convention. Ah, yes, we have...
Keep hitting the bell, George. Farming convention.
Farming convention.
And
okay.
Again, George. The hookers. I'm here for the hookers.
Okay. Yes, we have...
The mechanics convention.
The mechanics convention. Okay, so we're...
Liquid feed symposium. Potato farmers. Pot growers. I'm here for the pot growers convention.
Okay, good. All right.
So am I, apparently.
All right. Yes, you have the green suite on the 30th floor.
Excellent. Is there a mini bar?
There are two mini bars.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. So
are they both small, or are they...
Are they both huge?
They are.
The are they filled with humans or
no? It's the high expensive mini bar.
Good. New like, accent.
Are they filled with humans? Oh, they're high accent. Oh, that's great. That makes it nice.
They're really good ones. Yes, sir. Yes. Anything.
And anytime
else?
You hit a bell, I'll do a new accent. Is there booze in the bar, you prick? I ask ya. I have not. The first one was a different one. It's more the work.
Oh, okay.
I told you, I want a bar filled with beats and old women.
We
why
have
is this
that,
a
actually.
Problem?
Was that a problem.
Bell? Was that a bell? Hi, y'all got catfish in that bar? Come on now. Trump.
All right. Let me check and see if we have that.
Just something nice. I want a TV and some nice sheets with a nice thread count. Something sassy.
Okay. I'll call housekeeping, make sure that happens.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Okay. that's all the improv we have for tonight. Right. Thank you. Thank you. So you see, that's how a train wreck works.
All right.
No, you did good, George. That was fun. And
now,
for
now
just coming up with that 30 seconds ago. So anyway,
wherever
it's listening and it's just opening your mouth and hoping something good comes out.
Good. Very good. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to try and wrap up this train wreck right after this. So don't go away.
You're listening to VOBS. Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
This is John Bailey, the epic voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
All right. Well, this song's definitely been different.
It has. We've had a blast, though.
This is the way to end 2016. Now, we're not. Yes, we're going to be off next week.
Yes, we are.
Because it's
valuable time off.
It's Boxing Day. In Canada, in Britain, and stuff like that. It's the day after Christmas.
I'm going to be spending valuable time with my daughter.
Yeah,
and then after that, I'm flying to see my honey in Colorado.
All right.
Maxine.
All right.
That's going to be where I'm going to be for the New Year's.
I'm going nowhere.
Good.
Which is the way some careers tend to go.
I'm staying, and then I'm going.
Okay.
I'm getting a little bit of both.
Excellent. Well, we're going to be home. We're going to have a nice family, holiday. Interesting that Hanukkah and Christmas Eve are the same night. Hanukkah during January. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Man. I just like the way you say Hanukkah.
More phlegm in it.
Alrighty. And then we'll be back on January 2nd with another special guest. Mm-hmm. And if there's a topic you want us to cover or a guest you'd like to see on the show, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv.
Or maybe you have an idea for a group show, a roundtable.
Because
we love doing roundtables. And people seem to get a lot out of that. So
Arthur, have a special King of the idea. Britons.
Yes.
That was a roundtable.
Right to the roundtable.
Yes.
Different kind of roundtable. But yeah, and we're also looking at getting the folks from that other podcast called The VoiceOver Cafe.
Ah, yes. Our good friends back east.
A super
east
show where we
Midwest.
Meld those two shows together and do an Uber
show.
Yeah,
about time. They're great people.
Yeah.
Good friends of ours. Anyway, tune in and have yourself a wonderful holiday season. But we do have to thank our sponsors.
And
because
our donors.
Without them, this would just be two guys standing.
We'll thank our sponsors, then we'll thank our donors.
Oh, that's what I was about to thank the sponsors.
Okay, good. Okay. And the donors?
Yes. And okay, then good. We'll thank the donors.
And then the sponsors.
Right. We need to thank
5 seconds.
Thank you. Harlan Hogan over at voiceoveressentials.com.
Voiceover Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App, both of them.
And not least, for sure.
Certainly not least tonight.
Killer production. Ant-Land's Killer Demos, where you can... Ant-Land's Productions?
What's
it called?
Ant Land Productions? Ant Land Productions.
Thanks a lot.
He
for
is
that
getting
rum.
His money's worth.
Jesus,
tonight.
A lot of S's and ants.
I know. But we thank them for all their help. Yeah. And of course, if you'd like to donate to the show, there's a donate button up here somewhere. Where is it? It's like up there. Okay, there we go.
Nope, that's the.
Oh, darn. Turn the light off.
There
okay,
we go.
All right. And we really appreciate it. It helps us. We need a couple of new pieces of equipment. We're going to try some new stuff in the next year. So.
Maybe even some more staffing.
More staffing.
Maybe give our current staff a raise.
Yeah,
imagine
really.
That. Ooh.
Like actually pay
you
them.
Get two goats.
All right.
We got donations.
And a lump of coal.
From Eric Aragone, who never misses a show.
Never. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it. Have a happy new year and Merry Christmas and all
and
that
another
stuff.
Another Eric Rubalcaba.
Rubalcaba, absolutely.
Trey Mosley, Michael Martin, Andrew Kaufman, Antland Productions, who still donates to the show for some reason.
Well, he's getting his money's worth, though.
And Maria Mackis, another one of our donors.
All righty. We'd like to have some acknowledges. Of course, we'd like to thank Marcy for just letting us do this back here in my garage, which
Yay.
Is kind of cool.
Thank you, Marcy! Yay.
Anthony Gettig, who unfortunately couldn't be here tonight because he had an emergency.
Family things.
Our producer, Catherine Curran, for all the great guests that she gets us. Also, our floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz, who did a yeoman job tonight.
Yes, he did.
Trying
he
to keep up
with
us.
The punches.
Yeah.
Very nicely.
Jack DeGolia for the show notes, and of course, our buddy Lee Penny, just for being Lee Penny.
Hey, real quick, go see Rogue One. I'm not sure it's going to make enough money.
Yeah, they need some help.
Yeah, they do. I don't think so. let's see. So, that's going to do it for us. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, man. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
You know, we're here for you guys. We're here so you can improve your voiceover career and your business. Ask us questions. We're going to bring the people in that will help you out. And we learn from you. You learn from us. That's why we're here. We just want to make the business a better place.
This is your show, you guys.
Your show.
You tell
Absolutely.
Us what you want to see, what you want to hear. You can also fill out the survey on the website and let us know what you like, what you don't like.
5 seconds and we're out.
All right. We're way over already. So anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. Have yourselves a wonderful holiday season. We'll see you in 2017.
You're listening to VOBS.